Hello and welcome to the Record Swappers. My name is Gabriel, and I'm joined, as always, by... I'm sorry for this. Oh, yeah, you like that? You like that? Viking. Viking, say hello.
Hello, people. I'm sorry for you experiencing this podcast right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like everything's gone to shit because somebody... somehow lost the other files. Yes. I have to take this at the top. Welcome. You want to be on top model? So we're the record swappers. We swap records every time. We swap records. We swap them. Yeah. I did it. And we were supposed to not swap this record that we already swapped at the previous swapping point in our swappers of the wrecking and the records. What I'm trying to say is this episode was technically supposed to be released instead of the Bo Burnham episode that was released a little beforehand. But we lost the files, as we've said on social media, and we want to say here. So we're redoing Death's album For the World to See.
So this is what I would like to call Death 2.0.
Yes.
We figured out Death is kind of weird and bad. Yeah. So we're inventing something new.
Yeah, and also, I mean, we can do it like a movie title, like More Death, More Sound, or I don't know, like More Hardcore.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be doing today, and then we're going to go back to the format as it was supposed to be, which is what we'll say in the end also. Sonic Youth is after this, but no.
But like, look it like this, like... You get two episodes in a row, and I get two episodes in a row.
Yeah, we're cheating the system.
Yeah, because like the next episode will still be the Goo episode that we hinted at the end of the Bo Burnham.
Yeah.
But we'll take that more.
Yeah, we'll get back on track. But you know, there's a new meme or saying: "It is what it is," and that's what that it is what it is.
Yeah.
But speaking of what is, now it is. Our black artists recommend.
Yeah, I was gonna go for like, but you know what matters? Black artists matters.
Yeah, we have good segues for once.
I shouldn't
play with this. Sorry.
No, you shouldn't play. We're doing a podcast
here. I wanted to play with the book in my hands. I'm sorry.
So do you wanna go first, or should I go first? Or we haven't thought about this because I mean, like, we kind of just. Remembering this from the old times, like a month ago.
In the day when we were young, a couple of months ago. Yeah. So I had a recommendation called Linea M, LYNNEAM. She's a YouTuber, very famous for doing fantastic covers, and she has done covers of a couple of bands and people that we've talked about, such as Billie Eilish. Her Billie Eilish covers are really amazing. And she's also been... on The Voice, I think, or like Talent in America, like all my other black artist recommends have been. So, I mean, you have to keep it up.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's really amazing. So you should go check her out in the links in the show notes. And also Vikings recommend you should check out, which is...
It's Debbie Friday. She's some cool, doing really interesting, aggressive, experimental music. Check out her album Bitch Punk, which is really good.
Yeah, a very cool mix of stuff.
Yeah, it has a good Death Grips vibe, if you like that band. Go check them out, support them, and have fun.
Yeah. How have you been, Viking? That's something because this week has been different. We haven't seen each other for so many days.
No, you decided to... Ditch town and run away from...
Yeah, the mob was after me. Yes. One man and his way to get out of town.
I mean, like...
Coming this summer.
Yeah, and my week has been kind of normal. I've actually been getting into the Yakuza games again. So I've been playing Yakuza 4.
Yakuza.
Because there's a million Yakuza games.
Yeah, and they're all... Something.
Yeah, they're all something. And unfortunately very sexist and misogynist.
And very, very long. I remember them being long to play.
Or like they're pretty short, like
hour wise.
No, but like if you're gonna mainline it.
Oh, okay.
But like there's a lot of like side stuff to do and fun to like mini games and like you can run a hostess club and you know all that jazz.
All damn.
So it's been fun.
Nice. I've been doing what I did, and I did that.
Yes.
And also, I've been starting studying and working half-half because I'm going to become educated in my field of work.
Yes.
So I've been doing that.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I'm going to become a grown-up now, Papa.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing with my life. You want to talk about death?
I want to talk about the band death.
Not the concept?
No, the band death.
Is there a heaven? Could we may almost be made in heaven? This could be heaven. This could be heaven for everyone.
No, but I want to talk about the band death and not the like black metal band death.
There's only one band called death and it's this band.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I was in the vinyl show.
There's only one band called Death until we do the other band. Exactly. Then there's two bands called Death.
I actually went into the vinyl shop a couple of weeks ago and I even looked around trying to find this band and then I asked in the register, oh, do you have a band called Death, their album For the World? And they're like, do you mean the hair metal, black metal band? I'm like, no, not that band. I mean this band.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we don't have that. I'm like, damn it. But so let's talk about Death the Band, a band called Death.
Yes. Well, we can start at the band. The band is made up by three brothers. There's Bobby Hackney, there's Dennis Hackney, and there's David Hackney. Bobby sings and plays the bass, and Dennis Hackney plays the drums, and David Hackney plays the guitar.
Yeah, they're a brother group from Detroit. And yeah. they were first formed in the 70s.
Yes. And they're kind of like was a close-knit group of brothers that kind of like really like made a deal with each other to stick together in the good times and the bad times.
Yeah.
And like stand up for each other. And they started their first band in their bedroom called Rock Fire Funk Express.
Best name ever.
Yeah, which is a beautiful name. Even if like Def is a really good name also. They was kind of like fighting with their identity as a music group, and they were like first going very funk as like Motown and all that kind of music was very popular at the time. But then David went to see the Who concert and got very inspired to get into rock and roll. And like some other inspirations are also like Alice Cooper, and Bobby got into the bass because of Paul McCartney and stuff like that.
Good role models, I would say.
Yes. So in the spring of 74, David called Dennis and Bobby up to the room and declared the band was gonna be called Death. They were, and like Dennis and Bobby was kind of skeptic at first, but David's convictions and belief got them on board, and like the name Death is a little inspired by their father. Who died, and also like David wanted a name with a real shock value.
What's more shocking than death?
And like David kind of built up this like almost like mythology around like the band and the name, and he even made like what he called the Death Triangle,
which sounds like a band in itself.
Yeah, almost. But it's. It became like the symbol of the band, and it's made up by four dots, three of them in a triangle, and then a fourth down right of the triangle. And it's the three dots in the triangle kind of represents the three elements of life: spiritual, mental, and physical. With the fourth one, that's downright being the guiding spirit or God.
Yeah, we saw those hoodies that they had in the documentary.
Yeah,
a band called Def, and those they looked really good. I kind of want to order one, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like
having them all the time together, walking around in the documentary, they looked like so cool together.
Yeah, they kind of have a cool like on their merch page because I've been kind of. I was gonna say oogling their merch space, but that's kind of.
I was also taking a glance at it after we watched the documentary.
Maybe so. Oogling, maybe not the right word. No, but I've been looking through, and I think they have like one that's really cool. Like with, it's kind of the art from the cover of this album.
Oh, nice!
But with the death symbol also in there, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So they got talking and they decided like they need a record contract. What they did to choose like a company to go after and try to get the record company to get a deal with them was to like staple a yellow page, the yellow pages, like the phone book.
Yeah.
Like for you young ones, when we were young, we didn't have like internet lookup phone numbers. We had a book where all the phone numbers.
Yes, and the yellow pages would be businesses, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's why you say sometimes, even today, take a look in the yellow pages, even on the internet.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but it kind of works also. Yeah. But either way, they put that up with all the like labels in Detroit, and then they threw a dart at the wall, and it landed on Grooseville Productions. So that's where they went looking for a deal with them. And Grooseville Production was a big production company in Detroit run by Don Davis. That was an upcoming like record mogul.
Mogul. You just put you did one of those Swedish
Mögel. No, but I also kind of thought about like, you know, the Final Fantasy race Moogle, Moogle.
Yes, I want Don Davis photoshopped like that. That would be horrific.
I want to go Don Davis, go Koopa.
Oh my god. Talking about Grooveville Productions, didn't they also have like big other stars? Like, am I misremembering, like, seeing, like, Aretha? No? Or other big names?
No, but they had some, like, big names, but, like, not, like, I went looking through, like, the Wikipedia page, but yeah. I don't think I could find, like that caliber of a star, but they had still good
Yeah, I remember seeing somebody which I'm like, oh, yeah, these people.
Yeah. Yes. So they got like the permission of them to like start recording at United Sound Systems, which was the recording studio Grooseville Productions had in Detroit, and they started recording their songs through the summer of 1975. So the man they kind of got in contact with was Brian Spears.
B. Spears.
Yeah. And he, when the mixes were done, he took the album to Don Davis to listen to it. And Don Davis was skeptic about the name Death. He liked the music, but the death, like, he was skeptic about it. And they started looking for a label to like produce the album and put it out. And everybody kind of started turning them down because of the name Death. Arista Records, which I don't know if they exist anymore. I don't remember.
I don't think they do, or they were bought up or something.
Yeah, they're probably bought up by Warner Brothers, if I'm going to be honest. Because Warner Brothers kind of feels like the Disney of vinyl records.
Yes, they are.
But yes. But anyways, they were interesting in representing them. And they like even met. But they had like, we're going to give you a record deal, but you have to change your name. And David was strongly against that. And they ended up turning the deal down. And like in public, the brothers really stuck together. But there was still an inner argument of like Dennis and Bobby like really wanting like, For them, the name wasn't as important for as it was for David.
Yeah.
David had this like mythology built up.
And the money, I mean, back in those days, that money was a lot. If you would take in, you know.
Yeah.
What's it called, you know, back from then to now? Inflation.
Yeah.
If you think about inflation today, 25,000 was it?
I think it was something like that. And like, yeah, especially for like upcoming band, like,
yeah, and also them in the sense that their dad had passed away and they only had their mom, and she maybe wasn't working a lot, and I mean it costs a lot, as we know, to live in America.
But yeah, but as we said, they ended up like, not taking the deal, and later, like Groove's Will Production and Def went a separate day, separate ways. But before they left, David actually went and asked for the masters back from Brian Spears, and he gave them to it.
Which is something that never happened.
No, not today.
Hardly then, even, honestly. Sometimes, it depends on how big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was more common than that.
Yeah, I do agree.
Like I feel these days, everybody's very copyright. Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot in the media about that. Like, I know you maybe don't listen to this artist, but Ariana Grande is very famous, and I like her style of music somewhat, you know. But she always does. She didn't do music for a while, and then she started pumping out a lot of albums, so she could get her old stuff released from the same company back under her name. Mm-hmm. And it's like that never-ending cycle machine, which we have today, instead of like that when you could get it maybe.
But yes, but for. With those masters, the band printed a limited run of 507-inch vinyls that was Politician in My Eyes on side A, and then the B-side was Keep on Knocking.
Good songs.
Yeah.
Spoiler, but good songs.
Yeah. and they tried to like go around and get the radio play them, but and they did like the radio play them, but not as frequently as they needed it to do to like catch on.
Yeah, and especially with like you said earlier with the name saying, "Oh well, like this song is by Def." It was very hard to get airtime, probably.
Yeah, probably. So after a while, they sold their equipment in Detroit and went out and made a new home in New England, and tried to start the band again there, And they kind of put up posters and like...
Oh, yeah, that story is amazing.
Yeah, and there's a story about like the policeman coming to the door and like wondering why are you putting up...
We don't want gangs here.
Yeah, and like that. And they were like, no, this is just the band. And like... But in the 1980, they gave up and... Because they couldn't stand the reactions and like them being always like denied everything just because their name, and because there were like black people playing rock and roll. Because you were supposed to play funk and soul.
Yeah, Motown stuff.
Yeah,
not rock and roll. Not this type of. Genre that we're gonna talk about too, a lot.
So they went on and creating a band called the Fourth Movement, where they kind of married the music they were doing with death with a spiritual concept.
Almost like a Christian hard rock group, in
yeah,
a sense.
Yeah, yeah, and like.
Which sounds amazing.
It is on like Spotify, and you should go and check it out because it's really good music.
Yeah,
and it's like. It's very good. But that album got very bad reviews, and after that they kind of split up, and David went back to Detroit, and Dennis and Bobby kept rehearsing without guitar, playing every day, to think like sooner or later David would come back and play with them.
Yeah.
Which is a very like sad.
Yeah, it's very heavy. I mean, we've been and talking about the documentary and telling some stories from it. I mean, when you watch it and you hear them talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's almost like that when you are in a movie and it has that bittersweet quality to it.
Yeah.
You get that feeling from the brothers, like that they always thought he would return. And he didn't, but they also never like approached him to come back.
Mm.
So there's like a bittersweet taste to that. But yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, and like after some time, they realized he was not coming back, so they started their own band named Lambspread, which was a reggae band.
Yeah,
because like you had the bass and you had the drums, and that's like everything you need to start a reggae band.
Yeah. And they're, I mean, when you watch the documentary, you also see that they both have dreads, I think, and stuff. And
yeah.
I mean, it kind of goes with that typical stereotype of a reggae also that you had probably at that time in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, and like, David had like all the way through kind of hinted that their music would not be seen after his passing. And in 2000, they saw David for the last time when he came. When he came to film Dennis' wedding, and he brought all the masters with him, and gave them to Bobby, telling him one day the world will come looking for these, and I know you will keep them. And also said, he said. When you all make it, I won't be with you guys. And a few months later, after the wedding, he died in lung cancer.
Yeah. I wrote that quote down too. And the one thing that always feels very emotional to me is the part where he says, I'll know that you have it. That when Dennis talks about it, like, I know you will have it. Not only that they will exist, the masters, but... Mm. His brother will have them, which is something really heartbreaking, honestly.
Yeah. This episode was supposed to be released, unfortunately, 2 days after his past, like 20 years. After he
died. Oh, you mean
died.
When we were originally supposed to drop this? Yeah. And we talked about that in the when we filmed it or recorded it first time.
Yeah.
And that kind of hit us too, man. Like,
It's
been so long, and his message that he wanted to give with his music that he never got to give till the late 2000s.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And he always knew. He was the mastermind. He was the puppet master behind all of this.
Yeah.
Hopefully... He smiles down in heaven. He's like, I got you.
Yeah. I hope he found music and peace wherever he is now.
Yeah. And I mean, whatever afterlife you believe in, hopefully he's rocking out.
Yeah. Yeah. And like David kept on creating music until like he died. And he recorded under the name Ruff Francis.
Yeah.
Which will come back later.
Yeah. What goes around comes back around.
So in 2008, the word kind of started to spread among vinyl collectors of the death single. A man named Don Das Schwenk apparently had gotten a few copies of the Def record to circulate among his friends in the 70s.
Yeah.
But never did. And he kind of like one day popped into a record store and started spreading them around. And Ben Blackwell, a musician and vinyl collector, got hold of the single and started making tape copies and spread them around.
Yeah.
And it kind of like...
It kind of has this feeling of like when you see a movie and they do that, bring, bring. Yes, hello. Bro, you should check this out, yeah. Man. I got this cool album or cool single you need to check. I feel like that's what we would have done back in there. Like, bring, bring. Hello, Viking.
Yeah.
You should check this out, bro. Or like, you know, back in the future. Bring, bring. Hey, listen to this.
Yeah. And like... one of the people he sent to was like a writer for a magazine that put up an article about the single.
Yeah, it was really good
and
article.
And then like put up the MP3s there also of like the two songs on the single.
Yeah.
And
it was amazing to see that article and the feedback to it because I was on the website and read it and they still had those old comments, you know.
Yeah.
So it was really cool seeing that, to be honest.
So it kind of made it its way around and finally the word made it to the label called Drag City Records, who got very interested in the music and like they were like realizing if there's two songs, two very good songs here, and then I wonder if there's more. So they started contacting Dennis and Bobby because they wanted to release a full record. And in February of 2009, the album was released. To promote the album, the three sons of Bobby started performing the album live.
Yeah, Bobby Jr. was one of them.
Yeah, and... And also, one of the directors of the documentary we have kind of hinted at, called A Band Called Death.
Which amazing documentary.
Yeah, which you should really call
it. You're going to rock out, you're going to love it, and you're going to cry.
One of the directors of the documentary, Jeff Howlett, saw one of these concerts, and that's what kind of inspired him to do the documentary. He had known them as Lambred, but kind of, and but he kind of like, as the kids of the band also kind of realized like there was something more there, like they didn't know about the music.
And also hearing Bobby Jr. talking about his dad's music and like calling him up like, Dad, wait, were you in this band called Def?
Yeah.
You're talking about, and I also have like a quote from Bobby Jr. talking about his dad's music that we were just trying to find ways of informing people like about the Def music, because when I first heard it, I thought, this can't be real. Yeah. People have to know about this. This is crazy. I feel like I found Jimmy Hoffa or something.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he just called his dad up and was so surprised. And we talked about that in the earlier recording. Imagine one of our parents like doing something crazy and like, wait, what? It feels like so surreal, probably.
Yeah.
And that would be amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, talking about the brothers of Bobby Sr., from the Def band doing their own stuff.
Yeah, so them covering Def songs kind of grew into their own project named after like David Hackney's solo project called Rough Francis.
Yeah, I mean, they have some good songs.
Yeah,
too.
They released a record this year and it's really good. And
kind of in the same style somewhat.
They have this like kind of punk rock style, definitely.
Yeah.
And they even like were included to the soundtrack of the new Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 soundtrack, which is fantastic. And it was very weird. Like we were talking on the phone, and I had the game pause, and I just saw in the bottom of the corner where like the track listing is, and it just stood there, Rough Francis.
Yeah, and it was so like the coincidence.
I was like, do you know what? Rough Francis is on the soundtrack.
It's a small world after all. Hey, Tony Hawk knows what he's doing when he makes those games. He probably picks all the music.
Yeah, exactly. He's
handpicks it.
So So also kind of the death itself also got kind of reunited.
Yeah.
Because like people were kind of starting after like the album release, and like we want like someone to perform live, and Joey Ramone's brother actually invited him to play the annual Joey Ramone birthday bash, and they ended up taking on Bobby Duncan to play guitar instead of David, and they kind of like it's kind of formed the New Death, as they call themselves. Yeah. Kind of. And since then they have released some demos and a whole new
albums. Yeah,
and one new whole album called New.
Yeah, I want to talk and also about
a couple of singles.
The Bobby Duncan thing, because yeah. I mean, I know this is maybe spoiling the documentary somewhat, but still, when Bobby was like talking about the pressure, not or like the respect that they had for him, believing that he could play. Like, okay, well, see, because he was playing in Lamb's Bread or something, right? I think Bobby was. And they asked him, right, can you play these songs? And he really felt the respect that, and he nailed them. And they said it was like almost hearing David play again, which was so amazing to feel that they could feel that feeling. And when they played live, that they had David's picture with them almost on live stages and stuff like that is amazing. And also in the other albums that they have, like, excerpts of David playing or talking, which is... Yeah. And it just feels this whole death mythos that David wanted, in a way.
Yeah.
And it's it just gets me, man, when you, like, see the trajectory of it. It's so amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And like,
I'm not starting a death podcast, but I maybe will. I feel like we could.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Oh, my God. It is amazing.
I could like I could talk about this album for hours.
I mean, we technically are, because we're making a second episode of it, because the other one was deleted.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Are you saying you did this on purpose?
Yes. like David.
No, you were like I love this album. I need to talk about it again.
I mean, that would be
okay. Let's push delete here.
Oh yeah, that would be so mastermind of me. But also, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, them playing at the Ramones is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh God. I still like. Oh yeah. Why do we recognize this name? Oh yeah, the Ramones. Because sometimes when you're reading the research, you're not like thinking of every name that pops up actively. So that was cool.
Yeah. So what's your first impression of this?
Oh, my first impressions, baby. Before my first impression, okay. I want to mention another name that's very big. I have a Jack White of the White Stripes quote.
Oh yeah.
And I just thought that was amazing. Jack White has been said in a New York Times article, which is an amazing article. So he said, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. When I was told the history of the band and what year they recorded this music, it just didn't make sense. Ahead of punk, ahead of their time. And I mean, and this is going to lead into my first impression, because we talked last time and now, and that this is proto-punk and like before its time. And it's like something you've heard, but also never heard before, in a way. And it's so cool, the sort of balance they have. Because I feel like that's my first impression. I just love the sound of it when I first heard it. It's like a funk, psychedelic funk rock punk song and sometimes jazz drums. Like at certain parts, not every song, but I mean, like every song has a different feeling or a different part.
Yeah.
There can be like one small part that has like drums that are very like marching jazz style, and it's for a small second, but it's so many different stuff. It's like the Curtis Harding Slop and Soul. This is like slop and rock. Which is amazing. And also, I just I was very surprised about how good they were musically when I first heard them, but also I think vocally, because sometimes when you say punk bands, no offense, but punk bands are sometimes, you know, not known for like the good vocals. It's more like the music and the feeling.
Yeah.
I feel, from the vocals. But they have good vocals, so good vocals in this band, which is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Sometimes hauntingly so, honestly. And I feel like, I don't know other podcast or anybody who's done episodes on this band, probably and hopefully. But I feel like, I hope that the voices of them, the brothers, have been lifted more, because I feel like their music capabilities, I understand, you know, probably gets more cred. Yeah. But I feel like their voices need more cred, because it's something special they do.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just like, it's kind of so unbelievable that this didn't, like, catch on, because...
But also that they were playing, like, in their own garage, you know, no training in a sense. Yeah, they just trained themselves.
In their bedroom. But, yeah, no, but, like, it's... Because, like, the album is so, like, chock full with just pure talent.
Yeah, and it's just a bang after a bang.
Yeah, and so it's incredible to me that this didn't, like, catch on in any capacity. Like, that this was so long, just lost the time.
Yeah.
It's very, like, unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
And like, for me, what does is, it's, like, they have, a very... incredible, like, intense energy in their music, and like, it's very, like, spot on everything, and yeah, it's just awesome.
Yeah, it just feels like they're rehearsing in their bedrooms, just nailed everything down, so they couldn't even make a mistake somehow. Yeah. Or even if it was a mistake, you would never notice, because it's so well incorporated. But I mean, it's just so amazing, especially, I mean, we've talked sometimes about this, like, talent and training sometimes in this show. Like, what is your talent? Are you good, or do you just understand? Like, somebody who can, you know, have perfect pitch, like Robert Johnson and other people we talked about. Mm. Some people just have it, some people train it, some people have a knack of both. And it's just so amazing that they didn't have Google. They maybe just went to a musician place and, like, picked up stuff, or... like when they saw Alice Cooper and all them.
Yeah.
And just, that's what I want to do. And then just learning it. Because when they first got their drums and their guitars and everything, they probably couldn't sing. Well, I mean, they said they went to church all the time. So they probably in that way sang, but not this way.
No.
So it's an interesting evolution.
Yeah. Also, like, it's like, it's such a unique thing, because it won't happen, like, unfortunately anymore, is that kind of like people like getting started in a vacuum.
Because you have the internet,
like,
now.
They had their inspirations, of course, and like they had their inspiration to get into rock and roll, but it's not like today when you like have all your like inspirations very readily available to you, and like you can specifically say I want to be like this artist and this artist and this artist, and I'm gonna do that stuff.
One of the closest stories I think you could get from this podcast is like the Billie Eilish and Phineas in their room, because that was a small space and they did their own sound. And but that doesn't have to happen often, like you're saying today. That's one of the few stories I can think of from our catalog, so to speak of.
I mean, like, yeah, and like, it's usually those people that does something new, like, and like,
and
before its time.
Yeah, and really impacts, I would say.
Because
you're not, especially now, like, saying that you're not comparing yourself or saying I want to do exactly like this.
And that makes me more pissed off that this isn't like this more popular.
Yeah, just don't go too punk and flip the table on me.
Yeah.
So those were our first... I kind of want to do a separate episode now, just looking at the documentary, talking about the documentary, and then talking about the music again.
Couldn't we do like a second by second, like, talk about the album?
Yeah, oh my God, that would be amazing. But we're going to go from our first impressions to the first song, and let's knock on the door of this first song, Viking. Yeah. Let's keep on knocking.
Yes,
or keep on knocking.
So yeah, as they tell them, this the origin of this song comes from like girls knocking on their door when they were rehearsing, like for for them making a lot of sound and they also, wanting to stop.
Also, when Viking is saying their door, he's not talking about the outside door. They came into the house and was knocking on the bedroom door.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah.
But no, no. Just random neighborhood girls. I don't think they knew each other. That's what I'm trying to say. That her mother just like, yeah, I'll let you in.
But I mean, like, there's a community, like,
I know, neighbor. And also but it was the 70s, but still weird.
Also, it's like, she's like, they're knocking on the door complaining, and she, if it's like their mother is like, I'm not gonna go up talk to them, you go up and talk to them.
Yeah, kind of. It's like, that would be so fun. And the whole thing that they incorporated the knocking into the lyrics, like just started ripping.
Yeah, but the origin of the song is like them knocking on the door and David kind of coming up with the riff on the spot and like the some of the lyrics right there.
Yeah, and just keep on playing.
Yeah.
Keep on knocking.
And that's kind of fun. It's a very nice, upbeat song. It makes me very happy to listen to this song.
Yeah, I mean, it really, the music really sucks me in. Like we've been saying, this is a re-recording of the episode, so I was listening to Def and their band. I mean, their album, Brain. And I haven't actually listened to, I was listening to it a couple of times after, and then I haven't listened to it at all till today, I think. No. And it just like, re-sucked me in.
No, yeah, I haven't listened to it since we recorded the episode, because, and I was like, oh, I missed this.
I also had the same thing, because all these notes I've written are the old notes, but I still feel it, and I have like new thoughts about the songs again. Also, like the fast-paced rock and roll feeling to it, and that's what I was kind of saying with the first impression I had, you know, the different styles or like just parts are in every song. The guitar, the drums, and the bass just are so smooth.
Yeah.
And that's also weird. We talked about this on the Billie Eilish, because I mentioned it, and also the first recording of this. Just getting, like, Billie Eilish in her bedroom getting such a good sound to make a whole album is amazing. Mm. You can do that now. These guys were in a studio, but still back in the 70s and that studio that they have, but still getting that crisp, smooth sound they got into this album is amazing.
Yeah, also like,
it's like, I feel like they almost had, you know, like A level type of equipment, but probably they didn't, but they just made it so good.
Yeah, but like where they recorded was one of the biggest recording studios in Detroit. So I think they had the good equipment. But
also it's a new band, so that's what I'm thinking. But yeah, true.
But for me, what's kind of amazing is that that they recorded a studio, but they also kind of kept this like bedroom feeling alive. Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's very nice.
Can I start talking about the second song?
Yeah.
So Viking, you and I are rock and roll victims. We already said that because we got re-sucked into this album. So I want to welcome you to Rock and Roll Victims Anonymous. You're a rock and roll victim. I know it's true. Because I'm a rock and roll victim too. Yeah. I've been a rock and roll victim for probably 18 years of my life. It's been a hard struggle. How about you, Viking?
Yeah.
What was the latest rock and roll band that you fell victim to? For me, it was Def.
Yeah.
So thank you. That concludes our meeting of Rock and Roll Anonymous, Rock and Roll Victims Anonymous.
Yeah. I mean, this song is about us starting this podcast.
Oh, God,
Because it's about people getting connecting over like rock and roll.
Yeah, and just getting sucked into the...
And that's kind of how we also got started. We're like, we need to do a music podcast.
Yeah.
And
this song, man, the breakneck speed of this song, the heavy rock, heavy rock and roll, heavy rock song, like almost, not metal, but you know, very like, tough, and it's just amazing the breakneck speed. It goes so fast, and the drums, it's so fantastic.
Also, I kind of feel this song kind of tells the origin story of them.
Oh yeah,
their band and them, like as like music.
Yeah, especially people. Because of like the Alice Cooper stories you were saying and stuff.
Yeah, like them getting inspired by The Who and like.
Yeah, the Who. That was what I was looking for.
Yeah, they getting sucked into rock and roll of it all.
Especially because before that they were doing the funk thing, like yeah. you were saying, and then just like becoming a rock and roll victim. Yeah. Also, the lyrics. I feel like the lyrics really spoke to me because when I listened to it the first time, I had the feeling of me bouncing in the bed like a 14-year-old and just rocking out, you know, destroying my bedroom kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And now when I was cooking food, I was kind of doing that too, just like jumping around making fucking chili con carne pasta or chili sin carne.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny because like this is a really, really good song. But also, it's kind of the weakest of the album, and that says a lot, I think.
I mean, it's so because we sometimes say that, oh, well, this can feel like a filler song or a mess song. Or yeah. But when you say the weakest song in bunny quotes, yeah. it's still like one of the strongest songs.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the weakest, like of several masterpieces.
Sometimes there's the saying, you know, a weak link in a mighty chain will break the chain. But when every song in the chain is amazing, even the weak one, I don't feel like it will break.
Speaking of masterpieces, let's go to the next song.
Yeah, Let the World Turn.
Oh my God, this song is a fucking masterpiece. Whew. I love this song. I would marry this song.
I would have its babies.
Yeah.
I would get the divorce and then share the custody with those babies. And then we will fall in love again when we're...
Yeah, because it's a song about ups and downs.
Oh,
like,
yes.
It goes slow and goes fast. And
we would meet each other.
It goes into a fucking incredible drum solo and the guitar solo and like...
Guitar shredding. Oh, yeah. The solo.
Yeah, it has everything and those fantastic lyrics.
The detached vocals, those get me. I just re-listened, like I said, today, and I was cooking, and the detached vocals, I kind of just stopped and closed my eyes and listened.
Yeah,
they're fan-fucking-freaking-tastic. And this was what I was saying. Their vocals are so smooth, right? I mean, it's not only that they get the power of their voices. It's also like there's certain times they like take a note and just hold it, and it's so smooth, but you get that feeling also. The meaning of the song too, a lot. Like you were saying, like the ups and downs and the world kind of sucks, but you can't worry about it. Mm. You can't worry about shit, you know, breaking up. You just live your life, let the world turn. Mm. It's like they're saying, you know. And the lyric, they say your life better, you better live it now.
Mm.
And I really feel like it's, you know, the carpe diem or like you only live once thing. And it's a good saying, I feel like.
Yeah.
You got your life, you gotta live it now. You better live it now.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's a really good song.
Yeah, like
I think we broke Viking. I think we broke Viking. He's like, repeat.
No, but lately I think I thought about this drum solo a lot. It's like it's something that comes up in my mind a lot. Like just this drum solo.
Yeah, but it was like me. I think it was late last year, early this year. I was just scrolling through Instagram drum solos. And a lot of people did covers, but some people just did like jazz improvisations. And it feels like you can have that feeling, but with this, you know, solo in your brain.
Yeah, but I always been love with like a short, effective solo.
What?
And
you're crazy, bro.
Yeah, and like this is like the cream of the crop.
Then you wouldn't like that J.K. Simmons movie, Whip, where it's like not my tempo.
Oh my God.
So I want to go to the next song, and this talks about Viking and his love for this music because you're a prisoner.
Yeah.
You're a prisoner of this music. If you like. I feel like you said earlier that Rock and Roll Victim is like the weakest song again, Bunny Coats, and I feel like this is probably one of the heavier songs on the album.
Yeah.
God, this.
The chorus is very haunting. It's very like with the echo and like everything. It's just
Yeah, like the aspect of being a prisoner within your own mind, and that that aspect also saying you can't get by if you don't try. It's like you're putting krokben, you know, you're like tripping yourself even before trying something. It's like the saying, you know, look before you jump, but sometimes you, but also that could scare you for because you don't want to make the jump. You can't get by if you don't try to change the things within yourself.
Yeah.
You want to be free, but you don't even try to help. You hold the key because you're locked inside yourself. These lyrics are fucking amazing.
Yeah, they're incredible.
So fucking good. Oh,
yeah.
You're, and also, you know, I'm just thinking now, you're a prisoner, prisoner. The screaming.
Yeah.
And it's also almost a little detached in a sense here, but not as detached as Let the World Turn because of the vocals and the chorus. So if you're like, you're Bobby, or you're David and I'm Bobby, so you're like, you're a prisoner, and then I come like a small second behind, and it just helps.
Yeah,
and I'm also thinking about this, like the mental depression or anxiety that people have when you kind of talk to yourself and neg yourself, you say negative things, and this kind of has that, like, you're a prisoner, prisoner. You're talking against yourself, towards yourself at that split second.
Yeah.
So good.
I mean, like, if this song would have a music video in the early 2000s, it would be in a padded cell with a like a restraining jacket on.
Yeah, like a Disturbed one, basically. Oh my god, yeah. So you want to go freaking out? Freaking out?
Yeah, but one more thing about
You're a Prisoner
is like the bass line on this track is incredible. It's like, it's like a hammer, like just hammering through the track. And sorry for the mic.
I don't know what happened there.
My glasses touched.
Ah, that's what it is. So, I almost thought you hit the little troll.
Yeah. So no, but yeah, it's just incredible. So,
yeah,
that's everything. We're done being prisoners, and it's time to
go freaking out. Freaking out.
Which is kind of the new metal song of this album.
I agree.
The chorus could be a new metal like track.
Freaking out. And yet again, here we go. We go back to these like detached, distorted vocals. Oh my god, I love it. And I kind of know how they do it, but also I don't know how they do it. You know, those detached vocals, because it could be you're recording it and then you just split it up. Yeah. So there's two tracks where David says, and sings and then sings again.
Layering.
Yeah, but it's still, but it's, it sounds so flawless. It doesn't sound like it is what you would say the engineering or mastering. It feels like it's happening in real time.
Yeah, it feels just like live recorded.
Yeah, it just feels like David multiplied himself into another person and just like sang at the same time. Yeah. Or like Bobby as a backup. But also the feeling that the song gives you, it honestly freaks me out. It gave me anxiety at sometimes. And it's kind of like those Childish Gambino songs like from Awaken My Love, where it would be like terrifying, thrilling at the same time, but also cool. And this guy, and also I feel like if you look at the lyrics, this could be a psychedelic song, a little drug trippy song. The LSD at the time, you know, that the CIA used to make Jedis and stuff. Remember that? Also, the Stargate project and the Star Wars. You remember all those projects? Yeah. Where they just...
I remember.
Can I just side note? I love Googling CIA and LSD projects. They're amazing. What they thought they're just
the
what
whole,
they...
Have you heard about the dolphin thing?
Oh, no.
I don't remember. I think it was... I think it was NASA. So there were...
Wait.
Take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But because this is like from what I heard from a podcast about this, you know, like...
A podcast from a podcast from a friend to a friend.
Yeah. So can't trust the podcast.
We never Google anything.
Yeah, do your own fact checks. No, but there was like a crazy doctor getting money from NASA to figure out like to be able to speak to dolphins.
Yeah, I have heard of this actually. Yes. When you said
so what they did was kind of like instead of like them learning the dolphin language, yeah, they decided to make the dolphin learn English.
Yeah.
So they filled up a house with water,
yeah,
and let the dolphin live there, and also like the dolphin got so sexually frustrated,
yeah,
so they had to like jerk it off.
Yeah, they do that at SeaWorld too sometimes.
Yeah, and like, oh my, also fed it LSD.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, yeah, it feels like you were going to say, well, they filled up a pool with LSD and they put that pool inside a house with people, and it was the Big Brother but with dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a horrible, horrible story.
Yeah.
But it's also so ridiculous that it's just funny.
Yeah, that's how it was during the Cold War.
Yeah.
But I feel like this song, Freaking Out, could be about that LSD trip, honestly.
Wow, that was a sidestepping off.
I mean, no, they were singing about the dolphin taking drugs. What else could it be? And also, this is a good segue from us. Where do we go from here?
It's exactly. Like, where do we go from jerking off LSD dolphins?
Yeah. To singing, talking about rock and roll again.
Yes.
Oh, baby. Where do we go from here? Oh, my God, this song. The fucking, like, existential crisis this song gives me. Yeah. It's kind of like freaking out. I got anxiety a little. But this, where do we go from here? Oh my God.
Yeah, it's also like very fitting in the 2020s when like, where do we go from here?
Where the fuck do we go from here?
Like
nowhere, because you're quarantined.
This is the state of the world. Where do we go from here?
The instruments, you know, the bass guitar and the drums of this song is fucking slaps.
Yeah, it's like this just like turns into like praise after a while, and we're repeating this is awesome. But yeah,
but it's like when we said, and we forgot to say this at the top. Sometimes an album we can say this voice is amazing,
yeah,
this guitarist is amazing, this whole band.
Yeah, I mean, like,
and I don't mind anybody hating us for jacking off Def. I'll jack off Def as many times as I need. Just as an LSD trip to dolphin, I'll jack it up.
Oh my God.
Oh God, I love this.
Are we gonna do the Def 3.0? Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, re-record this.
Yeah, reset.
Almost. Reset. It's almost like, where could we go from here?
Yeah, I will delete this now.
No, I love this. I want to talk about the ending of the song. Or do you have anything else about the song? Because
are we gonna talk about the...
Oh yes, God, I kind of want to talk about it, but I kind of just like want to sit with my thoughts because it's so amazing.
Yes,
so, like, it's so powerful. It gives me so much chills, so much anxiety. So what are we talking about, Viking?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm talking about the laughs.
Oh, you were talking about the laughs.
Yeah,
I mean,
But the whole outro of the song is incredible. Yeah, that's what I mean. But yeah, like, the laughs are part of it, and I'll, like...
And it's almost like almost a Joker maniacal thing, in a way. Watching the world burn.
Yeah.
In a way. Oh, God. It's amazing. You want to go to the last song?
Yeah.
What can we say about this last song? Politicians in my eyes. I mean, what can you not say? Can I just say this? The music in itself, Viking, is fan freaking fucking amazingly, unbelievably dang-tastic.
Yeah, I mean,
it's my, how many words can I find to describe this music is what I just Googled, basically, when I first did this notes. I'm like, I went to synonyms.com and like, I need this one, I need this one, I need this one, because it's so good.
Yeah, it's a incredible song, and like... I was listening to it actually going around your apartment just like an hour ago or something like that. I don't know. Time is weird. But I was just thinking about like this may be one of the best outros of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it is really good.
Like the riff, like, just trudging along, and him like singing. And, it's just fun.
And the drums after that second chorus, when they change the tempo, it's just so good. It's so powerful. It's when they sing the part, always trying to be slick when they tell us the lies. They're responsible for seeing sending young men to die. That tempo change that the drums make is so fucking good.
Yeah.
And it happens again when they do reaching out, shaking hands, making friends and other plans. Some will rise, some will fall. Some won't even answer calls. Like the tempo shift... in speed is what I think of, but like the tempo shift in the drums is amazing and the lyrics is so good. And also that after some won't even answer calls, they sing that amazing that goose bump amazing powerful I mean, like that just chills across my whole body. I told you that, like, I had chills not only like down my neck, fucking arms.
Yeah.
My whole body had chills when I listened to that the first time on these studio headphones. It was so good.
I don't think we talked about this last time, but like, what does a politician in my eye mean? Like,
it's that they're all up in your face.
Yeah. Like, is it like they're irritating your retinas, or is it like...
It's like you're seeing them be on television and stuff, and you're like, re-elect me, I'm a bullshit person, I'm sending people to die. Donald Trump. I didn't say anything. Oh, what?
No.
I'm sorry.
I think we're very open on this podcast that Donald Trump is a fascist.
Oh, yeah, I think everybody is.
And you should vote blue. I think we both can stand behind that message, right?
I kind of wish we could say vote green also, but that party never does anything in America.
No, but like...
Vote anything except for Donald Trump. Even vote for Michael J. Fox. I don't know why. He'll take us back to the future.
Oh my god, Michael J. Fox as president.
That would be kind of crazy.
I want to see the alternate 90s when that was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
A politician is in my eyes like...
I think that's what they're meaning. Also, yeah. And can you imagine this song was made before the internet? This was made before the internet when we can see the politicians' every move. They're Instagramming, they're tweeting, they're live streaming. You know, we can see it, and now they're really in our eyes.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't know if you're too young for this, but you remember like the old commercials we had to pay like TV.
The TV license?
TV taxes, pretty much. Yeah. Because we have like a public TV station that's run by the.
Yeah, public access, right?
Yeah, public access. That's cool. And do you remember the commercials about the snail in the eye?
Snail in the eye?
Oh, you never seen those.
I mean, I didn't watch a lot of public access in this country.
No, but so there was a commercial that was pretty much threatening people to pay these taxes or they would get a snail in their eye.
What?
Yeah, I need to show you this.
Yeah, we have to check this out later.
After the podcast. But,
oh my god, that's awesome.
But yeah, it's the best thing ever.
If we find it, I'll edit the sound in.
Yeah, it's probably on YouTube. Snigelögat kan du nog söka på, så kan du nog hitta det. But that's also what it kind of reminds me of a politician in my eye. It's kind of like...
right up in your face.
Yes.
The song "Politicians in My Eyes" also, it's so powerful. Also me talking about this whole like that we have the internet now and you can see them all the time, and we're talking about Donald Trump. The thing that's the most amazing thing with this song and the most powerful thing is that the anger, the hatred, not hatred, but the anger, the discontent that you have and the sadness that you have in the song is still happening.
Yeah.
And maybe stronger now.
Yeah.
Which is horrible, but so amazingly powerful and speaks volumes to this song, I feel like. And the anger in the song that you get in the voice and the music, and also with this like tempo shift and stuff that it kind of goes up and down and it gives you a time to breathe. I mean, now today we have COVID, and that's affecting the world and affecting how politicians are being seen. the Black Lives Matter movement in America mostly, but also in the world,
yeah,
is affecting people and how we see these people in power.
Yeah.
And also, we talked about this somewhat, not, I don't really know when, but we've talked about this aspect of, even if you vote, and you should not, you should vote for whoever you want, but you should really not vote for Trump, honestly.
Yeah.
I can't sway you or support him anyway. But also, sadly enough, maybe even if we vote for somebody else, the people in Congress and Senate in America and other countries, that system won't change. Even if you get a front runner, the people behind that person will still be the same.
Yeah,
and that's kind of saddening and angerful. It makes me angry.
Definitely.
It's the same in Sweden. Even if we would change the prime minister, if everybody else in the party is still the same, did anything really change? That's why we have to make our voice loud, just like this politician. We have to tell them off. We have to tell them what we think, and we won't stand for not having change. Political.
Yeah.
Also, me being political is not a lot of times happening, but honestly, this song makes me...
Yeah.
I should listen to this song and then become a politician, so basically, is what I should do.
And then you'd be a politician in my eye.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah.
So,
lasting.
Lasting impressions.
Lasting impressions. And my lasting impressions is one thing is, I don't want this to end. Can we delete this and talk about it again?
Yeah, we're going to do Def 3.0. I said that.
Oh, God. I mean, the music, just like you said earlier, that you hadn't listened to it, and when you came back, it's so... It just sucks you in. It just, like, takes you by the shirt, like the cuff, and just pulls you into the music. And you just want to jam with it. You want to be angry with it. You want to... Just rock out with your socks out. But one thing I really feel like I said in the first impressions, is the same I have with the last impressions, is the sense that every song kind of features one instrument more, or they have a different small sound in them.
Yeah.
And that kind of has that style that Queen kind of had, that they could do different things. And I just feel in my alternate reality brain, where Def would have become a bigger band and they would have kept together, like, the amount of different style of music they would have made, because I don't feel like they would have been held back by anything, especially being run by David, giving no fucks about anybody, telling him what he can and can't do.
Yeah.
I mean, he's basically the godfather of punk in a way, because he said no like that to a record deal. But it really does hurt me about that what if question. If, like, what if they weren't shot down? What if they weren't blah blah blah? And it's kind of sad that my mind goes like that. Maybe yours too, Viking.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's.
But also the reason.
It's like a frustrating loop you get into. Like,
yeah, like what if?
Yeah, and like.
But also the resurgence that they have. They release more music with the band Def from their vaults, and it's and the whole family.
Yeah.
The whole Hackney family is playing music together, the father and the son again. And I mean, the son and the Rough Rensters group is kind of also keeping Def alive in a sense. And Def is still doing that. And it is a shame that David couldn't be alive to rock out with his brothers and melt our faces. But he is probably rocking out with any kind of deity that you believe in the afterlife or not, and just watching his brothers play. Definitely. Or if he's in hell, I mean, he's probably rocking out with all the greats. But he is not. He's with Jesus, rocking out with his socks out.
Yeah. And I'm like this is an incredible album. It's one of my favorite albums of all time.
I think so far, I mean, even though we've been listening to Sonic Youth and I like the album, and we're going to talk about that more in the future, but I think so far, this is my favorite pick of all your picks. I think this is your topic. And and it goes from everything. I feel like, for me, the album design is so simplistic but beautiful.
Yeah.
And the music is so breathtakingly amazing. Yeah. It grabs you. It is one of my favorite picks from, like, top to bottom.
Yeah, and also, like, the story behind this record is just incredible, touching and sad, and it just magnifies.
Documentary.
Yeah, it just magnifies, like, this incredible album, and makes it so much, like, more potent.
Did we watch the documentary or give it a listen first? I can't remember what we did. I think
I have listened to the first. I don't know.
I think you. I listened to it once or twice before, and then we watched it. Yeah. So it kind of really inflicted my sense of viewing the album also.
Yeah.
And definitely. the viewing of the documentary made me view the album much stronger.
Yeah.
And because you understand this storyline, I kind of wish we could have more of these documentary albums because you really get the storyline what people had to go through.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like,
it's quite amazing.
I think we will go into some of those later on the line, but yeah.
Yeah, I hope so. So my lasting impression is just me being gobsmacked, basically.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I'm trying to find words to say, but I just kind of like. I just don't know.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, good record, and like every like cinnamon that goes with that goes to this. It's just a frantic, chaotic energy that like, yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of wanna do the other ones on this podcast.
Yeah.
So hopefully,
in the course of this podcast, we
can do more death stuff. Even check out Rough Francis or Lamb's Bread or the Fourth Movement. I mean, the whole shebang, the whole universe.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna get the death universe. Yeah, we're gonna get
Wait, cinematic is so. This would be on
musical.
Yeah, I would say audio. Otherwise, audio cinema, audio universe, the death audio universe, the death recording universe,
the musical universe of death.
Yeah, I want that.
Yes.
So that's been our version, their Death 2.0 version recording.
We have reinvented death. There is no more death.
Everything is death.
Everyone's saved.
Everything is death.
There needs to be death to be alive.
So, I mean, this is a weird thing to say, but I'm still going to say it.
Yeah.
For some reason, if you're like, I listened to the album, and then just so I could listen to you guys talk, listen to the album. I'm not saying listen to it. I'm saying listen to it. Do you understand the difference? Watch the documentary and then really, really give yourself into the music of death.
Take a bath in this music.
God, give yourself a
good old rinse.
I was going to say, give yourself a good LSD drug trip dolphin soak in it.
I should have never brought that up.
That's going to be a mainstay now. So thank you for listening to this episode about death and LSD tripping dolphins and other stuff.
Please don't correct us on LSD the dolphin sex. We don't want
Please post it in comments below. So we want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast and to this album. And like we said, everything was a little out of sync, but we're doing Sonic Youth's Goo that Viking has recommended. Yeah. And so we're doing that next. That's coming up. Yep. Hopefully you will listen to that album. You will check all our social media out on everywhere, which is the Record Swappers.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you get two of my favorite albums of all time. Two in a row.
That's
like,
really awesome. Yeah. That kind of we could try this in the future where we get a Viking, Gabriel to get like the sense of us as people. Yeah. That would be cool. If you want to talk to us anywhere, of course, all the social media, just DM us. Or you can email us at the Googling, which is therecordswappers@gmail.com. I had to think for a while. I kind of forgot it. And of course, at all points of platforms where you can subscribe to us /follow us, please do. Where you can like or review us, please do.
Yeah.
To help us grow bigger in the podcast world.
Yeah.
5 stars everywhere. And just, you know, also talk to us. We love hearing from you.
Yeah.
And we love swapping at you, and we'll swap at you next time.
Yeah, and also if you want the deaf podcast,
please hit us
up and tell us that you want it.
The deaf swappers.
And we will make it.
Yes, we
promise.
Will. Absolutely. Thank you, and goodbye.